Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Well, hello there, Every Nation. I am so happy to be able to bring a message from God's Word from my heart to your home today. We've just wrapped up a month of miracles, and my prayer, we've been praying for you like crazy on the prayer lines, praying that you see God move in your life, praying that you've seen him move. And that as we wrap that up, we're moving into a sermon series now called Grateful. Grateful. Now, when I think of grateful, I think of, you know, we're coming into the Thanksgiving season. It's my favorite holiday. My birthday's in this holiday season. I think about often being fat and happy at the end of a great meal. I'm like, man, I'm just so grateful. But in that moment, we're often not in forward movement. We're not in progress. We're just sitting back and being grateful. And what I'd like to do is, yes, take this concept of gratefulness, but also with, as we just finished up a month of miracles, expectancy. And often we think of holding conflicting values in balance. Like maybe if we find a balance, but the fact of the matter is, if you think of a balance and a scale, you could have a little bit of weight on each side. And think about a person with little gratitude and little expectancy. When I think of that balance, that's a boring life. What I want to do is, rather than think of balance, I want to put these two concepts in tension and turn them both up. And like the string of a violin, create a beautiful melody through our lives and through our hearts as we are deeply grateful for everything that God has brought into our life, but also deeply expectant. Because he's a good and loving father that's expanding us, that's growing us, that has great purposes, intentions, and intentions for us. And so we're going to turn these concepts of gratefulness and expectancy up to 11 and experience the goodness of God and the excitement of walking daily with him. What I want to see happen in your life is us together using gratefulness as a weapon against the forces of darkness, a weapon against victimhood and taking advantage of others, a weapon against lack mentality and against greed, a weapon against self-pity and pride. When we are grateful, our lives are guarded and weaponized against these destructive forces that otherwise can come into our lives. So let's pause for a moment, pray, because we've got a big thing on our plate today as we think about gratefulness. Father, thank you for all that you've brought into our life. Your word says your mercies are new every morning. Every day we have something to be grateful for. Every moment is a gift from you, God. And I pray that in this season, our eyes would be open, our perspectives would be changed, and we'd never be the same again. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Our key scripture, our key text for today comes to us from Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through 13. And Paul is writing to the Philippians church from prison. There's context on this word. It's a letter from prison. And Paul writes, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation, I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ or through him who strengthens me." And I'm praying that today this will be our confession, that we've learned how to abound and how to live in lack, how to be abundant and how to have less than abundance. But in every circumstance, we've learned, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And friends, what I want to encourage you with today is, whatever you've gone through, the hardship of the last 2 years, the job loss, the rent payments being late, the doctor's bills coming in, whatever it is that you've gone through, God has brought you through to this moment today. You stand here today because of, yes, your grit, but also His grace. And my goodness, when we combine our ability to keep on going with the grace of God, there is a powerful combination that then rises up in us that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is such a power in gratitude. And there is a power in gratitude that I want to communicate to us today. I've actually got 3 points. The power of gratitude, the poison of gratitude, what could just kill and strip the gratitude in our life right out of us, and then how do we practice it? In order to help me make these points here today, I've got my good friend and your pastor, Pastor Kaz, here with me today, because together we've been walking in a Connect group over the last year. In our Connect group, he's been sharing story after story of the goodness of God flowing through his life, and I thought, my goodness, the world has got to hear some of the stories of Pastor Kaz. So he's here today to help supplement and build into this message for you. And I believe it build into your life through the stories of what God has done in him. So let's take a look at the power of gratitude, the power of it. Paul again says, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. What is he saying here? In all circumstances, I am trusting God. I'm trusting that whatever he's given me, whether it's plenty or lack, abundance or need, that God has brought me to this moment, that God has provided what I need to get through, that God has established these circumstances for my life, and therefore I can do anything because he's the one that's given me strength. He's the one that's brought me to this moment, and I'm going to trust him in every circumstance. There's such a strength, there's such a settledness, there's such a fortitude in Paul as he shares these words. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Why? Because I trust him. I've learned the secret. I can be content anywhere. When we trust God, we're doing direct battle with a lie of the enemy. And this lie is echoing throughout all of time and history. And it comes to us from Genesis chapter 3. Remember when the snake, the devil, comes to the woman. And he says, did God really say that if you eat that fruit, blah, 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 blah. And then he goes, in fact, here's what's going to happen. If you eat that fruit, you're going to be like God. And God doesn't want you to be like God. God's saving the best for himself. You see, God is holding out on you. And there's this lie that the devil injects into this woman's heart like a poison, and injects into Adam's heart, Adam and Eve's heart, like a poison. And it spread through all of humanity from that moment. We're all sons and daughters of Eve and Adam. We've all ingested this lie that God is really not good, that God is holding out on us in some way. The result is that when we look at what we have, when we look at our possessions, when we look at our life, if we don't believe that God has given it to us, that God is holding out on us, that God's saving his best, then what is around us is what I have earned. Everything is from me, what I've produced. Everything that I own, everything that I've achieved, everything that I am is only from me and only able to grow and be maintained through my hard work and my diligence and my effort. What does that mean? That's an eternally insecure place to live. It means that forever we will be plagued by insecurity because all of the resources that we have are very finite and they're contingent upon our hard work, our smarts, our ability to press through. When we allow gratitude to rise in our hearts toward God, it strikes at the very heart of the lie that God is holding out on us. That in fact, everything that I have around me is not because of me, it's because of God. Everything that I have is a gift from God. It strikes at the heart of God is holding out on me. And it says, no, not in fact, God is not holding out on me. God has given me everything that I have. Every breath that I've had has been from the Lord. Every morning I've woken up has been from the Lord. Every home I've lived in has been from the Lord. Every job I've worked, every grade I've gotten, every school I've walked into, every friendship and relationship I've had, my parents are from the Lord. My siblings are from the Lord. They might be driving me nuts in this moment, but they're from God. God, thank you. We start striking at the heart of the lie that he's holding out on us. And when we do that, we walk out of one ideology and into another. We walk out of a world of lack into a world of abundance. We walk out of working only with what we have into walking into all that God has for me. One sees the world as a finite thing. These are the resources that I have. The other one sees it as these are the resources that God has yet to give me. And we walk out of a finite lack mentality into an abundance mentality. We walk out of this is what I've earned into this is what God has graced me with so far. The power of gratitude shifts the world on its head and makes us secure. Even here's Paul writing from prison. He says, I've learned the secret. I'm well supplied. I don't need anything, but I'm so grateful for whatever you might send my way. I've learned the secret. And then Paul writes further on in Philippians 4, he says this, he sends this blessing back to the Philippian church. He says, I'm confident of this. My God, he'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Paul is so set and so secure that he's not even after it for his own blessing, but in fact, for the blessing that God will send back to the Philippians church as they support him in his need in prison. Gratitude makes us aware of all God has done for us, which in fact, if we count it up, it is everything we've ever experienced. So why would he not continue to be good to us? For me, I've been living in an apartment in New York for 5 years. God provided that apartment to me. God has supplied the resources for Elsa and my children to live there. But recently we've gotten pregnant. Elsa's pregnant with our third baby and we've been believing for more. And God has been speaking to me and said, Nathan, I've provided this far for you. Every dollar you've spent on your current apartment has been my grace. Why would I not grace you with more? And recently Elsa and I walked into a beautiful miracle of his provision. And we just moved this past week. I'm presently unpacking boxes and living in the brand new miracle that God has given us. But we have seen day by day his provision over the last 5 years. And why would I not continue to see his provision into the coming 5 years? Everything that I have is by his grace. Why would he not grace me with more? Gratitude empowers us to live in abundance. As the hymn goes, Amazing Grace, 'twas grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will bring me home. There is a power in gratitude. And to help highlight this, Pastor Kaz is going to share a story from his life. Come on in here, Pastor Kaz. Thank you for being here. I know you care about everybody that's out there. So Pastor Kaz, thank you for sharing from your heart and your experience.
Thank you, Pastor Nathan. Thank you for this opportunity. I have a short story that kind of highlights the power of gratitude. And this is also, I believe that the power is against the enemy. What the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, by having this heart of gratitude, we can fight against that. And it is a short story. I don't know, maybe some of you may remember me driving a white 2005 Honda Odyssey a long time ago. It broke down back in, I think it was 2018 or something like that, 19. And you know, we were believing for a new vehicle. And so we found one. God provided it, basically. Immediately, he provided the finances and the right vehicle that I was looking for. It's another Honda Odyssey, 2013. So we were rejoicing. God provided. Praise God. And then we hit the pandemic, right? So you know, that was very much needed for our family. During that season. And then fast forward to this past month, I think, about a month ago, you know how the street parking works in New York City. I don't know if you drive in New York City, park in New York City, but we have this, you know, alternate side parking rule happening every week. And so one day I was just parking the car, I came back to get my car and found this huge scratch. It's not even a scratch. It's like, you know, I mean, come to the in-person service on Sunday, you can see my car.
This is like
a Grand
Canyon.
That's what we got. To a point where I thought the door is not going to open, the side door, you know? But thankfully, it does open. That's the moment where I had to choose to thank God.
Wow.
I had to choose to be grateful that He provided that minivan for His purposes. And I had to remember that. You know, a lot of times we believe for something and we are grateful when we receive it, but we don't understand why we actually got that. There's actually a purpose behind every provision. And I had to remember that the reason God provided that minivan is not just for us to take vacation. That's very helpful. But it's really for the kingdom of God. It's really to serve our people in the city, serve the church. And I had to remember that, okay, yes, it doesn't look good, it's messed up, but I can still go to church office and pick up supplies. I can still take our team down to DC for our pastor's conference. I can still go grocery shopping. I can still do everything that God has called us to do with that vehicle that He provided. And I had to be grateful in that moment. I didn't let the enemy come and steal my joy. I didn't let the enemy come and lie to me and me getting mad all the day, that day, you know, trying to find out who did this, you know, trying to go to our neighbor and asking them, like, did you see what happened? I didn't have to do that. I was able to move on with the peace of God, that God's going to always take care of me, take care of my family, and that I can always do His will. And so this is the power of being grateful. In those moments, that might be a very little story, you know, very little thing to you, but that's how we can fight against the enemy, by being grateful.
It's very good. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Kaz. There's such a wealth in each of our team, and I wish that we could spend so much time with each of us. We're going to hear a little bit more from Pastor Kaz in a minute. The next thing I want to look at is, what could poison our gratitude? What could damage our heart of thankfulness and gratitude to God? And as I've been thinking about gratitude, there's one story that keeps coming back to me. It's from Luke 17, verse 17 through 19. And in this moment, Jesus is walking down the road, and 10 lepers, 10 people who have been deeply affected by leprosy, cast out of society, approach Him. And He speaks to them. He says, go to the temple, present yourself to the priest there. You've been cleansed. You've been well. You've been made well. And He continues on His journey, and only one out of the 10 come back to Him and see. He sees that he's been cleansed. He sees that his skin is cleared up, and he comes back to Jesus, and he falls down and he gives Him praise, and he worships God in this moment, and he thanks God and he thanks Jesus for this healing miracle. And Jesus responds, then Jesus answers, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? So this man was a Samaritan. And He said, rise and go up on your own way. Your faith has made you well. One man was a Samaritan. I assume that the other 9 were Hebrew Jewish men. And Jesus says, there was just this one, this foreigner, who saw that he had been made well. What can kill our gratitude? What can poison our gratitude is entitlement. When we think that the things that we have were owed to us anyway. I spent 12 years abroad as a foreigner. I lived as a foreigner in the United Kingdom. And my accent would give me away as an American at everywhere I went. And there was one prevailing question I would always get from Scottish people. Why are you here? Why would you leave America where the weather is so good and culture is so fun to come and live in the most glum place in the world? And I'm thinking, this place is not glum at all. It's gorgeous. If you've ever been to Scotland, every hill is green. Every castle is beautiful. Every mountain and hillside is incredible. Not to mention other benefits of living in the country, like free healthcare and other things like that, free college, university tuitions, and other benefits. But every person, almost every Scottish person, would look at me, would grimace and say, why did you do that? You know, almost in that accent as well. What are you doing? And I'd be like, your country's amazing. Your country's incredible. Every year, millions of tourists under normal circumstances flood into New York City. Now we see it often, you know, if you've been here a while, you see the rats, you see the garbage, you see the gross parts of our city, but tourists see the magic because they're foreign, because they have soft eyes and they're able to see with fresh lenses what's around them. They are not entitled to this city. We've grown tired at times of seeing the same old things. But I believe that God wants to impart to us not an entitlement, but a freshness and a newness, that everything that we have in our life is new and that we can live perpetually day by day in that miracle. Just like Kaz was saying, he had to remind himself, God gave me this van. Why did God give me this van? What are the purposes of God? Can I still achieve the purposes of God with a bashed up minivan? And the answer is, yes, I can continue forward. It was the foreigner that saw this. And I believe that by God's grace, we can get fresh eyes on old circumstances. One young man that I led to the Lord in Scotland was named Duncan. And he'd grown up in Edinburgh and grown well accustomed to the city. And he thought it was the worst place in the world. He was obsessed with America. And in fact, he now lives in Myrtle Beach. But that's beside the point. For years, after meeting me and seeing my passion for Scotland, he went all around the city and all around the country and saw it with fresh eyes. When you get around somebody with fresh eyes, they can impart to you that newness of sight, the ability to see things brand new. I've been around a lot of Christians recently who have been taking their faith for granted. And if that's you, I want to encourage you and remind you the abundance of life that's in God is not your birthright. You are not entitled to it. You were not born as a Christian. You became a Christian, and it was costly to God. This past week, we baptized 10 people who were coming out of addictions, coming out of demonic oppression, coming out of depression, coming out of sicknesses, coming out of loneliness and isolation. And every one of them was like, this is the greatest thing in the world. 10 powerful testimonies to the goodness of God. Friends, if you have let your faith grow cold, get around somebody fresh and new to the faith. If you have seen Christianity as old hat and you would rather spend your time critiquing what the church is not doing than enjoying what God is doing, then it's time for you to wake up and make a disciple. It's more a reflection on you than on God if you find your faith boring. What can poison our gratitude is entitlement. Forgiveness is not your birthright. You are not entitled to joy forevermore. God does not have to serve you, but day by day, He chooses to. He chooses to have a wellspring of living water flow out of your life, the Holy Spirit living inside of you. He chooses to give you His eternal word, His revelation. He chooses to demonstrate His goodness to you every morning. Will we have soft eyes like a foreigner? Will we be able to defocus and focus in on the beauty and the wonder and the grandeur all over again? Can we live moment by moment in gratitude? G.K. Chesterton writes this in his book, Orthodoxy. It's about the beauty and the wonder of staying young. And he says this, because children have an abounding vitality, because they are in spirit fierce and free. Therefore, they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, do it again. And the grown-up person does it again until he or she is nearly dead. For grown-up people, they're not strong enough to exalt in monotony. But perhaps God is strong enough to exalt in monotony. Is it possible that God says every morning, do it again to the sun, and every evening, do it again to the moon? It may not be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but he has never gotten tired of making them. It may be that he has the eternal appetite of infancy. For we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we. We have sinned and grown old, but God is eternally youthful. God is eternally joyful. He's eternally amazed by you. He shouts over you with songs of joy. He's amazed. Will we allow our hearts to enter into gratitude day by day and not let the things of God grow old? It's time for us to turn our hearts away from boredom, away from entitlement, away from thinking this is the way that things are and things ought to be and critiquing and judging, and on to the beauty, the wonder, the glory of God. If you're bored with your faith today, let it arise and wake up fresh and new. People are coming to know God. People are walking into his goodness. Get about the mission of God. Get about praising him and giving him thanks today. Let your heart start to bubble up with a new song to him. Dance before him. Sing before him. Try something new before the Lord. He loves you. He's eternally interested and youthful. Will we let some of that power in our life brand new today? Finally, we turn from the poison, what can poison our gratitude, into the practice of gratitude. How can we practice gratitude? When I look out at our culture, what I see is a practice of desire. Rather than looking around us and saying, how can I give thanks and be grateful for the things that are around me? It's more, what is inside of me that's bubbling up that says, I want, I want, I want. And we've learned to pay more attention to that voice inside of us, I want, than the things around us that we already have. For the past 2 or 3 years, my family, every night as we go to bed, we say one thing that we're thankful for from the day. And what I've noticed is that there can be a tendency not to notice what we do have, but the things that we don't have. One child got this and I didn't. One child got that and I didn't. I did get this, but I didn't get this, 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 and this. And friends, what I've seen is that there is always more to have. There's always more. There's always more. You can have everything that your heart desires and there's still more. For every one thing that you get in your life, there's 1,000 that you don't get. For every one apartment that I get, there's so many that I saw that I didn't get. For every minivan that you do get, there's so many other cars that you don't get. It's impossible to feed the insatiable I want. But how can we begin to practice gratitude rather than practicing desire? James chapter 1, 16 and 17 says this, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. What is this saying? That God is consistent, and every good, every perfect gift is from him. Everything good in your life is from God. Every good meal, every dollar spent and every dollar earned, every career, every fine piece of fashion that you wear, every beautiful friendship that you're in, beauty, all of it is intrinsic to our Creator God. But rather than letting our hearts be set on these temporal things, let's turn our heart to the Creator behind the creation. I want to end by bringing in Pastor Kaz one more time to share a story of how this has been operating and activated in his life. Thank you, Pastor Kaz.
So this story is a little bit longer. I wanted to give a little background of how we've walked our faith, especially in New York City. We came, my wife and I came here back in 2004, was a missionary, campus missionary from North Carolina. At that time, we had our oldest was 18 months old, and we had a second one on the way. And so a family of three, one on the way, came here with, I'm just going to be honest, we had $2,300 every month.
Wow.
Many times I thought that was a dumb decision. But I knew that was the right decision because we were so confident that God was calling us to New York City. We didn't know anything about New York City. We didn't know how expensive it was. After tithing, after paying the rent, we basically had about $300 to $400 left for the rest of the living expenses. And so that was the situation. That's enough background on how we have survived through these years. And you know, God is a miraculous God. That's all I can say. Fast forward to about 2000, probably like 18 or so, when our oldest now in high school, freshman in high school, and naturally we start thinking about college for our kids. You know, the one after that is kind of our second one is 1 year after that, and then we have a third child that is 1 year after that. So we have 3 years in a row the kids going to college in a few years, and so we're like, we don't have any college savings for them, and so we tell our kids, it's like, we have to believe for God to provide. That's all we said. We prayed. And we started to see God provide, actually. About a year later, we started seeing, you know, gifts given to us, designated for our kids' education and things like that. So we are grateful. Nothing that would just cover, you know, all of our kids' education for 4 years in whatever colleges they want to go to, but it was a great start. We are so grateful. You know, and it's definitely a significant amount that we had never seen before. So we're grateful. About a year after that, in 2019, I think, we were praying for a friend who was in grad school. And his prayer request was that he was in need of, money to pay his tuition. It's a significant amount of tuition, university in New York City. And so we were like, you know, my wife and I were praying for him, standing with him, just believing that God would come through for him. After a while, God actually impressed on my heart that I should help him financially. I'm like, Lord, you know that we don't have any like extra money laying around here, and I'm believing for my kids' college education in a few years, you know. So, but then the Lord was like, you know, you have the money. I knew where he was going. I'm like, that cannot be it. I mean, you provided that for my kids. And so I had to check with my wife, you know. And so I went to my wife, and sure enough, she actually had the same impression as we were praying separately, you know. I was like, okay, this has to be God. You know, I know that there's a purpose behind every provision, and I thought that purpose was for my kids' education, but here we go. I had to release that. It was a significant amount. Wrote a check, too many zeros. I've never, you know, I had to look up how to write that amount on the check, but like, that was a significant moment. What's amazing was that it was actually not that hard because God has been proving himself that he is faithful, that he's always providing. He's always provided for us. Just like what Pastor Nathan said, he's always providing for us. When we have the attitude and a heart of gratitude, we realize even the small things that God is providing. And it doesn't matter if it's small or big, God is still the provider. And so we had to release that. He was able to finish grad school. Praise God. We are so grateful that we were able to be a part of his life. And now he's thriving in the city. And fast forward to now, my oldest kid, senior in high school. She had decided which college she wanted to go to. We were just believing, praying together. I didn't want to even look at the cost of education for that college. I'm like, you can buy a house. I mean, not in New York, but. So we were just believing. Hey, we've been praying for scholarships. We've been praying that God will somehow provide. God will. But before that, we were praying that she would actually get into that school. Now, 2020, last year, around this time, November, she already applied to that school, and we were just waiting to hear back from the school. December, we got a letter saying that she was accepted. Praise God. God answered a prayer.
Yes.
The second page had all the numbers. I'm like, whoa. And then I saw that there's a financial aid that covered 92% of her education. All the tuition and room and board, 92% of that is covered by the financial aid from the school.
Wow.
I was blown away. That was about, you know, I don't know, several times more than what we had given to our friend a couple years ago. And then about a week or two later, we got another letter from her high school saying that she actually is receiving additional scholarships. So basically, that covered the rest of the tuition and everything. And so my daughter was able to go to Yale University for free. You know, along the way, God has been providing, more money to us, but we didn't even have to touch that to help Mia go to Yale University. And now we have two more going this year and next year. But I know that God's going to come through. And so it's so important that we develop this lifestyle of gratefulness. It's not just enough to give thanks when God does something for you or God provides for you. You have to develop this lifestyle where you are able to give thanks to him when God hasn't done anything yet.
Mm. Wow.
That's the faith that we can all have because God is so good. When we look at our companies that we work for or whatever, there's no promise. You never know what's going to happen. But when we look to God, we can have this faith that we can give thanks to God before we receive it. And so that's the power of being grateful. And I know that God's going to provide, continue to provide for our kids' education because we have sown the seed into our friend. And lastly, this creates the cycle of generosity and blessing in our lives. Another passage in the Bible talks about how God provides for us, and that provision is not only for our needs, but it's actually a seed. God provides the seed to the sower and bread for food. And so as we realize that, everything we receive is not actually for us to use. It's actually another seed that we can sow into. And being grateful also opens our eyes for opportunities to sow the seed into. And so that's my encouragement here through my testimony. I hope you were encouraged. And Pastor Nathan.
Thank you, Pastor Kaz. Stay close. Friends, as we close out here, our great hope is not just that you would get stuff from God, but really that you would get the God behind the stuff. He's made everything. Everything you've ever touched, tasted, smelled, imagined, he's made it all. Every idea and concept, he knows it. He's made it. He's created it. Our prayer is that we would all start to interact, not just with the blessing, but with the blesser. Not just with the kingdom of abundance, but the King himself. And that's the promise of God, is that we get to enter in and get to know him through Jesus Christ. That Jesus came, died, rose again so that we could know the Father through him, that we could enter into a relationship, this incredible relationship of trust. And we could say together, I know I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Pastor Kaz, would you pray that blessing out over our church and our congregation here today?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you are God who provides. You're God who always comes through, Lord God. You're God who never leaves us nor forsakes us, Lord. Thank you, God, that you know every need that we have, Lord. Even the things that we don't need, we don't know, Lord God. We thank you, God, that you know them, Lord. And thank you, Lord God, that as we develop this heart of gratitude about everything, Lord, thank you, God, that you will open our eyes to see that you are the source. You are the provider. You're the source of life, Lord God. And I thank you, God, that you promise us that we can walk this life with joy, with abundance, Lord God. Where enemy may come to kill, steal, and destroy, thank you, God, that you have come to give us life and life abundantly, Lord. And so we just thank you, Lord God, that we can do all things through Christ, yes, who strengthens Lord. Us, Lord God. Even in this pandemic, even when we are just surrounded by needs, thank you, God, that you are enough. Your provision is enough. Your name is enough, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that nothing will stop us from serving you and serving your people and making a difference in our lives and through our lives, Lord. And so we just thank you, Lord God, that you will just continue to provide for us, continue to meet all of our needs so that we can be a blessing in this season, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Sure love you guys. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. And if you need anything, please don't hesitate. Text us and let us know how we can be praying for you, how we can be standing with you in this season. Amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.